Shore. He is the phenomenal analyst of the Atlanta United Radio Network, and he was up in New York City last weekend, Sunday to be exact, as our Atlanta United got their first ever playoff victory, 1-0. Rometty with the goal. You all know that. Jason, as we welcome you in here, first of all, good afternoon. How you doing?
What's up, guys? How's it going?
Chilling, man, chilling. By the way, the research material, John, thank you, Alejandra, took up the entire segment. So once again, Jason, you're used to this by now, but I am entirely unprepped. So it's a good thing that I watched the match live on Sunday night. Jason, I am blown away by the fact that they had 8 shots and none on goal. Not one the entire match. 90-plus minutes of soccer, not a single shot on goal. Like, where does that rank with the accomplishments for Atlanta United?
It's up there. It's great defensive work from a team that gave up 4 goals in the previous week. You know, to bounce back and reshape this back line with Jeff Lorenowitz moving to the back line, paired with Michael Parkhurst and Leandro Gonzalez Pires, the 3-5-2 came back at Yankee Stadium and got through a gritty performance. I mean, Rick, NBA playoffs, you're used to seeing things amp up at this time of year. That's what happened at Yankee Stadium. This was a game that was a little nasty at times. Lots of hits off the ball, lots of fouls. It was a very physical match that's not Atlanta's usual MO. It worked well.
Jason, I want to, give props to you and Mike. I got a chance to listen to about the last 30 minutes as we were coming home from the Falcons game up in D.C., but also kind of let our fans know where Atlanta United now ranks. We are on a plane coming home from D.C. The Falcons have just won. The Rams and the Saints are on a lot of people's TVs, and I looked around the plane, and I'd say probably half the people on there had their phone trying to live stream Atlanta United. Do you feel that groundswell of support for Atlanta United, especially now that the playoffs are here?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, when you're there in the building in New York City and local TV is on hand, Waka Flocka flies up to New York just to go to the game. I mean, it's a crazy situation. Talking to fans last night at Stoppage Time Live over at Fideau Irish Pub, you know, fans are making plans to go to playoff games on short notice, buying plane tickets, flying to go see these games, and the plans for Sunday. I mean, people are arranging their whole day around it. You've got people who are going to get to the Gulch early, tailgate, watch the Falcons in the Gulch, come into the Benz, watch Atlanta United. It's going to be a special day in Atlanta sports on Sunday.
No question, and both games will be heard live right here on Sports Radio 92.9, the game home of the Falcons and home of Atlanta United. We've got Jason Longshore joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Rick and John here live on a Falcons Wednesday in Flowery Branch. We are anticipating Ito Smith roughly 10, 15, 20 minutes from now. Just stay tuned. You know what to do. Keep it locked. I want to go back to no shots on goal. And obviously, we love Gazan, but I mean, he was directing traffic and that kind of thing, but he didn't have to make a save the entire game. It's weird. So who deserves the most credit in terms of not allowing a shot on goal? Is it Lorenowitz? Is it Escobar? Like, if you could name one guy that deserves the most credit, who would it be?
We gave man of the match to Leandro Gonzalez Pires. We could have went Parkhurst. We could have went Lorenowitz. Honestly, the way this match played out, it was a complete defensive performance from all 11 on the field. Miguel Almiron plays 45. You see him chasing things down. Joseph Martinez dropping in, chasing things down, making tackles. It started from up there because New York City was unable to build the attacks that they like to build. They like to keep possession. By keeping possession and moving the ball side to side, they get the defense moving around and they try to take advantage. They try to overload one side, play to the opposite side. They were unable to do that because of the high pressure that Atlanta provided at times from Martinez, from Almiron, from Villalba when he came on in the second half, from Barco at the end. The guys that you don't always expect to play defense were big in this one too, because you don't have a defensive performance like that from one or two guys. It's a complete 11 who are committed to it.
Eric Rometty brought in a lot of times to be a defensive guy. For him to score the first goal in Atlanta United playoff history, what was your level of surprise with that? Like, of all the guys, I would have probably said only Brad Guzan had less of a chance to score a goal than Eric Rometty.
I don't know. Parkhurst is in that conversation, too. He's yet to score with Atlanta United, so he's probably next on the list. But Rometty, it's been really fun to watch this guy come into this team midseason. You wonder, you know, is he going to play a lot of minutes here? Is he going to be a depth piece? He starts playing significant minutes almost from day one, and he's really become part of this group. Great to see him get that opportunity. You know, he's a better player going forward than he gets credit. We've seen him put in dangerous crosses. We've seen him pick up an assist here and there. He's had some really good chances on goal that have been saved. This one, not the prettiest chance. You know, he almost impales himself on the post as he's trying to ram this one home, but he eventually gets it in the back of the net.
No doubt. Jason Longshore hanging out with Rick and John here. And so I saw Larenewicz in a lot of pain in this match. And it sure looked like, Jason, he took a shot to the store. Is that how you saw that?
I never got a good replay of that one. That was one moment where Larenewicz is down. Something happened. That normally doesn't happen by accident. So something happened. There was another situation later where he was hit in the mouth.
Yeah, to me, the wince that I saw after that and the gasping for air, that was not a cramp. That was not a hamstring tweak. That looked like, bing, a shot to the store. Sorry, Jeff.
Yeah, that's not pleasant, especially at that stage of the match because it was early, too. He took an elbow from David Villa later in the match, and Jeff today, talking to the media, said that it didn't hit him in the face. I think it might have hit him in the neck then. I think Jeff's trying to downplay it, as he should, because I think there's been a lot of talk this week about the referee. It's going to be Mark Geiger on Sunday, the referee from last week, Kevin Stott. David Villa with quite a few dangerous situations that were not carded. Professional Referees Organization today told Doug Robertson of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution that the studs-up kick to, I think, Greg Garza's kidney region should have been a yellow card, probably shouldn't have been a red card, but it didn't get anything. And that was a bit of an issue here. Atlanta's just got to put their head down. If it's not going to get called, you still got to score the goals and see the match out.
Jason Longshore, our guest here on the WadeFord.com hotline, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Jason, Miguel Almiron should have scored goal one. I know you and Mike were trying to give clarification to a lot of people as to why that was an offside. What happened? Explain it to me so I can figure out why Miggy wasn't credited with the goal.
Miguel was offside because it's a short corner. Miguel takes the corner from the corner of the field, plays it to Julian Gressel about 5 yards away. And then he runs onto the pass back from Gressel. Gressel really doesn't like move the ball forward. He kind of stops it for Miggy to run onto. The reason Miguel was offside was NYC did not put a player on the post on the goal line like you see a lot of teams do. Player was a few yards off the goal line. It was still a close call. The assistant referee who, I mean, could have touched Miguel, he was that close, did not put his flag up initially. We didn't think anything of it watching it live. They Professional Referees Organization came out today and said that it was clear and obvious that it was offside. If it's clear and obvious that it was offside, I'd like to know why TV didn't realize that. John Strong, Stuart Holden on the call for FS1 called the World Cup. They're as good as it gets. They didn't know what was being discussed. We all kind of zeroed in on Jeff Larenewicz possibly being offside on the shot from Miguel at the end of the play. I think it was the right call. I do. Watching it back live, I think they got it right. I don't really like how they got there, and I don't like that there is no communication on how the reviews are going because it puts all of us who are trying to tell the story and the PA announcer in the building in a tough spot because nobody knows what's going on.
Well, I like that we were mentally tough and able to overcome it and get a goal and win that match. What I don't like is Geiger on Sunday's match. Like, make me feel better about it, Jason. I've been to Geiger matches, and because of ears that are listening to me and I got other jobs, I can't go in more than I want to go in right now, Jason. I got to keep the peace and stay paid. But it's been a weird thing with us and Geiger. So make me feel better about it. Have we gone, say, three matches with Geiger or four matches with Geiger or whatever it is of sort of smooth sailing, or is it always a controversy when Geiger is not a United match?
We haven't seen Geiger in a while, and that's probably for the best. I'm not exactly surprised about the assignment. Again, you go back to game one, believe we had around 40 fouls in the game, lots of contentious moments. You had the David Villa stuff. You had all kinds of things happening in it. So MLS is going to assign, sorry, Professional Referees Organization is going to assign a referee to this match. They're going to assign one of their top referees. Geiger's their top referee. I mean, the guy worked in the World Cup, did three matches in Russia this summer. He's the best guy they have. He's in these moments. He had the England-Colombia game in the World Cup, which was very contentious. He should be the guy to handle this match. I think when you go into it, based off the history, you have to know who's reffing it. You have to know their personality of how they ref it. And you have to go in almost with the mindset that, look, something's going to happen. He is not going to be afraid to make a big call, whether it's penalty, whether it's a card, whatever, or go to VAR. He's not going to be afraid of any big moment. Don't give him any. Don't give him any opportunities. Put the game away as early as possible so you're not hoping that the referee makes a call or doesn't make a call in your favor.
Jason, Atlanta United obviously gets the 1-0 win on the road. Now you come back home needing basically a draw or a win to advance. How do they play this? Are they in attack mode from the beginning, or do they play passive knowing that they already have one game in hand?
90 minutes. For me, is way too much to sit back and play passive. I don't think this team plays its best that way. I think we saw in New York that it can sit back and grind out a game. It's better when it goes forward. I think you have to play this game the same way you started in New York City. Same lineup. If everybody's ready to go, you go with that. New York City has to open up. They're the ones that I think have to change what they do. As they open up on a wider field that they're not as accustomed to, there's going to be spaces, especially out wide. New York City's outside backs like to push forward and try to join the attack. If they go and the ball turns over, that's where Atlanta United has to attack. Down the right wing, down the left wing, exploit it, and take advantage of those opportunities. I think the pressure's on NYC here. Atlanta, though, doesn't have a comfortable enough lead to sit back. They just play their game, should be fine. Make NYC have to do something they're not comfortable doing.
5 o'clock Sunday afternoon from the bench, you're going to hear Atlanta United against the New York City FC scrubalicious team. You're going to hear that right here on the home of Atlanta United. Sports Radio 92.9, the game. So you called him David Villa. All right, now typically, Jason, I'm a very respectful guy. I'm a journalist. So I'll say Giannis Antetokounmpo. I'll say Luka Doncic, okay? Dirk Nowitzki. Not Nowitzki, but Nowitzki. I try to say names as they say them in their homelands, okay? But I ain't doing that for this guy because I don't like this guy. I'm calling him David Villa, okay? How do you like that, David Villa? I'm calling you David Villa, okay? I don't like this dude, and I don't like this team. Jason, a lot of very dislikable dudes, Villa with the cheap shot on Garza. Who is the most dislikable dude on this team to you?
Oh, man. I get bent out of shape when I see guys get superstar calls that Atlanta United players don't. I think Villa, I think Bastian Schweinsteiger are two guys in this league who know that they have a lot of leeway with referees and they take full advantage of it. Joseph Martinez, Miguel Almiron, Tito Villalba, they don't really get those kinds of calls. Anton Tinnerholm, I thought, tried to set the tone early in the match on Sunday, and I loved Atlanta's response. Big tackle on the touchline. Tinnerholm kind of goes in high with a forearm. Miguel goes down. Tinnerholm starts screaming at him to get up. Atlanta just played. I think Leandro Gonzalez Pires probably dropped somebody pretty physically after that. Rometty got a hit in, too. You just play. You don't worry about it. If they're the ones who are going to get bent out of shape and not try to play soccer the way that they do, because they're a very good soccer team. When they play good soccer. They were more focused on the physical side of the game here, and that's not their style. They don't play well that way.
Jason, great stuff. Have a great call on Sunday, and let's get on to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Thanks, Jason.
Thanks, guys.